took me a few, whoops, need some volume.
Took me a few minutes to get my accoutrement together. But, hopefully, as before, I think it's a little low.
Holly, you got the microphone further from your mouth than you did this morning.
Hello, okay. Your mindfulness has been, again, unbroken through lunch, so we'll just continue now. Continuity of awareness. But for this time, again, I want you to suspend your use of any primary anchor and instead use my voice and what I point to. And hopefully this will enhance your sense of experience of the nature of awareness. In the Tibetan tradition, this kind of practice is meant to reintroduce ourselves to what they consider the underlying nature of our being, to return us to our natural state of aware presence, which underlies the whole of life and death, and this great vacuousness of the nature of our mind that gets obscured and lost in the busyness of our lives. So we're just, over the time of the retreat, we've been brushing the dust of memory, using each thing that comes as a way of cleaning our senses, gathering our attention to this vital present. And a beautiful teaching from an Advaita Vedanta master who said, when the mind is kept away from its usual preoccupations, it becomes quiet. And if you don't disturb that quiet and you stay in it, you will discover that it's permeated with a light and a love that you've never known, but yet you recognize it at once as your natural state, as your own nature. Once you've touched that nature, you'll never be the same person again, he says. He says the unruly mind will break that peace and obliterate that vision, but it's bound to return if the effort is sustained until all bonds are broken, grasping and attachment, and I call it obsession with what's next, and life becomes supremely concentrated in the present. But I will point during this time to that light and love. And I will be using the language of the sky, of astronomy, so to speak. So very important that you take a posture that you can luxuriate in, if there is one at this time, where you can really let your body go and find a gentle stillness. And for those of you who have space around you, if you need to be on your back, that's also acceptable. Now I'd like you to feel or imagine or sense your mind to be like a clear, empty sky without limits. And tune in once again to the different sounds that arise. The sounds in the room, the sound of my voice, the sound of silence. the sounds, loud and soft, arise and fade without naming them or judging them, simply hearing or listening. Sounds come and go. Mind is like space. Sounds arise in that space and they pass away. Make no effort to hear the sounds. Let the sounds arise and let listening happen by itself. In the clear, empty, vacuous space of mind, once again become aware of physical sensations, like points of feeling, stars, flickering in an evening sky. Direct perception. There is no head, no shoulders, no arms or legs, no back or front, just points of feeling flickering like stars in the sky. Sounds and sensations. There's no inside, no outside, just these appearances, or rising, fading. In this vast, sky-like openness of mind. Nature of mind remains perfectly still, allowing the sounds and sensations to appear and disappear in the open stillness of mind. There is no head, no neck, no shoulders, no arms or legs, just points of sensation flickering like stars in that limitless nature of mind. Awareness, mind remaining perfectly still, not the slightest movement toward or away from any experience. The mind essence is motionless, clear, invisible, impartial, sky-like nature of the mind. Be aware of thoughts and images. like clouds drifting through an open sky. The thoughts, like clouds, have no roots, no home. Sometimes described as like a footprint of a bird in emptiness, appearing and vanishing, leaving no trace on the immovable, sky-like nature of the mind. Rest in this sky-like nature. Sense that it is soft and steady, perfectly still. No reaching for, no pushing away any experience. Letting sounds, sensations, thoughts and images arise and fade by themselves in that immovable, vast, sky-like nature of the mind. It's welcoming. There is no inside, no outside, only sounds and sensations, thoughts and images, making no impact on the immovable, impartial, welcoming nature of the mind. Nature of mind is self-knowing. So look within the nature of the mind. It's clear, invisible, like empty space. Look within your own mind. Clear, empty, not made of anything. Shining, yet black, containing all experience, but not limited by it. Free, unbound. Look within the nature of the mind. It's home. Just be aware. In our immediate and direct experience, there is no solid body, no arms, no legs, no front, no back. Just points of sensation flickering like stars in the vast evening sky. There's no inside, there's no outside. Just these appearances arising, fading, flickering, in this great invisible openness of mind. Rest in this sky-like nature. Rest your weary thinking mind in this natural great peace. Again, within the nature of the mind. Clear, open, shining, containing all experience, but not bound or limited by it. Of mind completely impartial and welcoming. Rest in this sky-like nature. Rest in this natural great peace, this exhausted mind. Conditioned to be beaten helpless by karma and neurotic thought. Rest. Rest. Be. Effortlessly aware. Inside, no outside, remaining still, be the stillness, be aware, be free. Rest in the nature of the mind, its home. Unconditioned, deathless, free. Be free. rest your weary problem-solving mind in this natural great peace and ease that is the natural great peace and ease of your own nature. Rest. Next gongs in about 5 minutes will mark the end of the sitting. Rest in the sky-like nature of the mind. It's home. Be aware. Uncaused, unconditioned, free. excuse me. So sorry. Just another sound, huh? Most of you have experienced this guided practice, and I apologize for the technological issues and the lack of, usually I have a whole variety of gongs, and I had to use the virtual one today, which somehow not to my liking, but of course we're beyond likes and dislikes. But anyway, most of you have experienced something like this before, but it's, I always like to remind everyone that just because of our human tendency to conceptualize, to reify, to take concepts of things to be the reality and mistake the reality for the concepts, or the concepts for the reality. And I'd like to remind everyone that what we just used was the metaphor of the sky. Because our mind is like the sky. I said sky-like, but our mind is not the sky. And I also like to remind everyone that the sky is not the sky. You know, the sky is just a word that is used to describe something that really is not easy to reduce to language. But when we say sky, we get this picture. But really, there's a lot more going on. But the mind is sky-like, because what our association with the sky is its vastness, its vacuousness. It doesn't say it's okay for this cloud to be here and this star to be here. It's impartial in that it's welcoming of everything. So our mind is like the sky in its openness, and its impartiality. But our mind is very different than the sky in the most obvious way to me. I'm curious what the most obvious way our mind is different than the sky. Anybody willing to say? Please.
My mind is mine.
Your mind is yours?
Yeah, I think of my mind, my thoughts is mine.
Uh-huh. Well, thoughts may be individual, but mind. Right. Yeah, but nature of mind may not be so personal.
Yes,
but the individual thoughts. Yeah. So, but the real, thank you, that's really useful. To me, the most obvious difference between mind, and just to be clear, what we usually talk about mind is the thinking mind. But in the teachings, what's actually being pointed to is not just the thinking mind. Thinking mind is just mind objects. But what we're pointing to as mind is the nature of the mind. Mind essence, mind nature. And so our mind nature is like the sky in that it's open. But it's different in the sky in that in the most... Please, you want to say something? The ability to contract?
The mind, whereas I don't think the sky. The mind can.
So the nature of mind is it can become either panoramic or microscopic. That's one way of talking about it. But that also points to the real crux of the difference between mind and sky. The mind has cognizance, it has awareness, it knows. And because of that knowing, because of the awareness quality, it has intelligence, it has responsiveness, it has skillfulness, it has all the qualities that express themselves as human beings, that we express. Are the expressions of being aware. And when our mind is free of its preoccupations and it is more just laid bare, just seeing clearly, like when I see you clearly and I'm free of my preoccupations and I just take you in, doesn't take long before I start to feel connected to you. I start to feel that you're not so apart from me. I know, paradoxically, it took my own sense of individuality to this body of mine with its senses to be able to perceive that, but I start to feel connected. And if I stay long enough, I will feel also affectionate. That's that the love quality and the caring quality that just flows. So our mind is not just a blank nothing like the sky. It's full of juju, juice. All the juice of love when we come out of the tangle of our fear body, there's love. And then when it meets, like I said yesterday, when it meets pain, it just flows so easily as compassion and caring. And when it meets joy, it joins in. And then...
Mind has no fear.
What's that?
Mind has no fear.
The personality view, yeah, you can't say it. Mind has no fear. The nature of mind it's not limited to any characteristic, but all fear and all these very noble qualities flow when it's really open, when it's really narrow, when it's shut, when it's filtered through my personality view, it's filled with fear. But fear, if it's noticed, it's seen as not separate from the nature of mind. No, I wouldn't say it doesn't have fear, but a mind that's open is fearless. A mind that is contracted, you talked about contracted, and experiencing things through the lens of personality, lots of fear. But don't believe me, this is all about seeing for yourself. This is not about a theory or a belief to be adopted. None of that. It's really what's beautiful about the Buddha's way to happiness is you're not meant to believe anything. And to just strip away all your beliefs and see for yourself what's true. Please.
So, if what you're saying, so the nature of the mind then is just consciousness, and are you getting into sort of the non-duality thing here? Like, sort of...
Could be.
Are
we...
You are. just...
So when your mind is free of its usual preoccupations, is there not consciousness? Okay, you can call it that. But don't get caught up in the word.
No, not the concept.
See, but what we'll say is, oh, it's pure consciousness. And then we'll build a monument to pure consciousness. I am pure consciousness. Pretty soon we've gotten this big identity as pure consciousness. Forget the word. Forget the somebody that's pure consciousness. Be conscious. Please. What do you do with all that?
There is, in my experience, lots of dismissiveness out there.
There's lots of what?
Dismissiveness, I guess is the word.
Dismissiveness?
Divisiveness.
Oh, thank you.
That's
a good thing to think about right now. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry.
But I'm aware of that it's, I would call it a fear culture, but just to the kind of give the concept and narrow it down.
Yeah, fear culture.
A fear culture. But,
So how many times a day do you recreate that as what it is in your mind?
Yeah.
No, but really, I mean, this is what we do. That we hypnotically induce a view of how the world is based on some, pretty good approximations, but nevertheless, we literally create the world. That's what that whole passage with our mind, we make the world.
Yes. But I'm kind of putting you on the spot, so I don't know if you can go back and remember this, because in contrast to that, I thought it was so astute when you said it. I thought, oh God, I won't remember that.
Oh.
On the other hand, there's a movement of
activism and caring? What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, yeah. There are. Yeah, so that's this. This.
Because my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, I thought I'd be able to tell my grandchild that.
No, people are doing magnificent things right now, and yeah, this is the heart of the Dharma. There is dukkha. There are things that are really hard to bear, and what feeds it is grasping and identifying with it, recreating again and again, this is how it is. But if we turn toward it with awareness, with whatever you want to call it, there is a caring. When people meet it with an open heart, that caring expresses itself as compassionate action. There's so many people when we turn toward it. One of the ways we turn away from it is to start thinking about it and recreating it in our mind as this fearful world. And then the more I think about it, the more isolated, individualistic, more helpless, more hopeless, more viewing the world through that lens. But if I meet it with this, this is where the rubber meets the road. Why would this vacuousness be useful? Because it makes us available to that, the natural heart's response to pain, which is compassion.
Which is why we're all here.
Exactly.
And the other thing I love is, as a comment, is the non-harming. I love that.
Yeah, the world's the way it is because we're the way we are. And if we want it to be we want to remake the world, we have to remake ourselves and the model of what kind of world we want. Please.
I thought that exercise was very relevant to me because we started with mindfulness, and with the music, the sounds, I had concentration, and so it resulted in more energy, a type of rapture energy.
Yeah, so energy, yeah. So anytime there's mindfulness, they're the same seeds of there. You know, you've probably all heard of or practiced even the certain kinds of concentration practices that lead to states of absorption. They're called jhanas. But there are these states that come through practice where there's lots of rapture and lots of energy, etc. But those same qualities of energy, they come with mindfulness. Any moment of mindfulness, you're developing the same power of mind as if you're doing an exclusive practice of trying to develop concentration. But concentration is not the aim here. It's really wisdom. It's understanding the nature of the mind. Please. Thank you for that description. See, I'm so thrilled that you were paying attention to the nuances and the differences. I'll just say that in the teachings and practices that point more to this more open, natural state of awareness and getting used to the intrinsic capacity that we have to be aware, in those practices, it becomes clear when we are just experiencing a simple and naked sense of being aware and when we are in a state of, when we're in actually a state that is conditioned. Concentration, the feeling of concentration, is a conditioned state. Sometimes we have that feeling of being concentrated, sometimes we don't. In this more open, it's being able to see whether it's if there's a state involved. And generally in the traditions where you develop this kind of open, naked awareness, you break concentration. You try to stop it. I don't know if that made any sense. You don't let yourself get absorbed into any state. You just stay with the light and not get too enchanted with the concentration and even the aliveness, even though it's so useful up to a point. That makes sense? So just when you're not in any particular state at all, just see what it's like to be aware. Please.
I had a very strange afternoon. While you were hitting the gong, I felt my whole body vibrating with the sound. And then after I stopped beating the gong, I was still vibrating. And I'd never experienced anything like that before. Is that my misspent youth coming back?
You didn't realize that meditation was like taking psychedelics, huh? You've just been outed.
Is that something that you can expect? Or,
I think we were talking about it earlier today, that with a greater degree of composure, forgetting everything I just said about naked awareness and no states, you know, all states stripped away. What we've been doing are creating the conditions for a more composed and concentrated mind, a mind that's more unified. And with that comes all kinds of energetic changes. And sometimes those energetic changes make us, when we come to that more sense of single-pointedness that I talked about before, ekagata, it's as though something that you heard across the room, so to speak, is there's no inside or outside. There's no separation between the where do you stop and that sound begins. So you begin to feel that. And so all of our usual notions of separateness start to break down in with more meditative experience. But we try to never forget that you do have a particularity and an individual experience that is a little bit different than mine. So we never deny our individuality. But that individuality doesn't really exist so separately from everything else. This is the teaching of the deathless. This is the teaching of selflessness. Does that make any sense? Or did I lose you?
No, you really didn't lose me. I guess I'm going to have to think about that for a while to make sure I completely understand.
Yeah. Well, when we don't, just I'll be with you in a second. When we don't say anything to each other, when we're just kind of hanging out, or even if we do say anything to it, where's the dividing line between us? If you don't think about it.
Are you asking me a question?
Yeah. Where did you begin and I end? And I begin and you end? That's what we usually think.
Yes.
But you just made a point that, contrary to that, you heard that sound that was generated right here. You felt it all the way over there. Now, does that tell me something about the limit of your body?
Yes.
Limit of perception? Is the mind really in the body? Or is the body in the mind? Ambiguous, but you know what meditation does is it shakes up our conventional views, because we start having experiences that don't necessarily match with that very dualistic, very very rigid, dense perception of things. And that rigid, dense perception of things is based on our usual proximity of our noticing. We notice things very superficially at a distance. But once you come a little bit more closely, just for example, from a distance, your body seems very solid. And when we think about our body, we think of it as a thing. But you put this body under a microscope, or you put it under the microscope of mindfulness, All of a sudden, it's vibrations, pulsing, burning, stinging. You put it under a microscope, and you turn up the volume, you turn up the power, you find space. You don't find anything that exists independently. It's all based on the proximity of observation. We're used to viewing things from a really gross perception. So you're going to have, when you have more subtle perception, you'll have all kinds of different experiences. I'm happy for you. But you won't, you're still, it still depends on your individuality and depends on this body to be able to have that. So don't let it freak you out if you can. Please, you had your hand up. Now that's either going to be a shared cry or a shared laugh. Oh. Wow. And this is how people become vegetarians. Thank you for your sense of humor. So we have, I'd like you to experiment. Just give, we'll have a 10 minute, if you are willing to walk outside and mingle your mind with the beauty, just consider for these 10 minutes that this scenery here is not outside your mind, but it's within the space of your own mind. And just let yourself experience that sense of where you don't feel as separate from the flow of life, that life is in you, not just that you're this little thing in life. Try to enjoy that. So 10 minutes of, and feel free to walk and even feel your body as rising in that openness. 10 minutes, and then we'll come back and have a little Dharma talk and a sharing of blessings and